We're excited to have by satellite phone have Ann Rejo and Natalie Warren with the Hudson Bay Bound Expedition calling us. Natalie and Ann are recreating Eric Severoyd's famous journey in 1930 when he traveled from St. Paul to Hudson Bay to York Factory, I believe. And they are now, have been in, I think this is day 78 on their journey. They're just doing great. And we've got Natalie, I believe, on the phone right now. Welcome back to the Roadhouse, Natalie.
Hey, Buck, how's it going?
It's going just great up here. What we'd like to know is just how it's going up there. And the first thing Bob mentioned is he'd like to know about was the bugs.
Yeah, the bugs haven't been too bad. It's been cold enough to where they've all died off. So, yeah, it's perfect. Conditions are perfect.
And now, for some folks who haven't been following this expedition and didn't hear the interview earlier on, who are listening now, you are recreating Eric Severoyd's expedition, but also not only doing this for yourself, as part of you and Ann's journey, but also doing it for YMCA Camp Minojin, where you and Ann met on an Arctic canoe trip, I think back in 2007.
Yep. We wanted to have a purpose to our trip, and so we're raising money for a scholarship fund for YMCA Camp Minojin. And we've raised about $4,000 so far, which has been pretty great, and we're going to continue fundraising during the trip and afterwards. We're also auctioning off our canoe at our welcome party when we get back.
Now, can you tell the folks, I know that the trip you made in 2007 for both of you was something you'll never forget and something that made a big impression. Can you tell folks a little bit about just what that meant to you and how that led to this trip?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I thought it was the coolest thing I would have ever done. I don't know. It's debatable. But we went on a 7-week trip in Nunavut, Canada. We did the Kazan and Kunlak rivers through YMCA Camp Minojin. And I wouldn't have known how to do that on my own without going through camp. And they really teach you how to prepare for a trip as far as food and maps and logistics. And then you get to go. We went with seven people total on our trip. And gosh, we didn't see people for 35, 38 days or something. And we were out there in the wild with muskox and caribou and foxes and wolves. And I don't know, it's really different for people our age because we're so dependent on being indoors and technology and things like that, that when we go out there, we realize, you know, which direction the wind is going and what time it is based on the sun and all these things that are kind of forgotten, easily forgotten within, modern day life. So it was just interesting to go back to that.
Now, you had probably some preconceptions, and I'm sure you've read Canoeing with the Cree that Eric Severoyd wrote about that trip. Probably gave you more preconceptions. What's been your biggest surprise about the trip so far?
Ooh, the biggest surprise. I'd say for me, the biggest surprise has been how many people we've met on this trip. Because when we planned it out, we were used to, you know, planning wilderness trips. And so we're like, well, I mean, we're going through Minnesota and South Dakota and North Dakota and then Winnipeg and even past Winnipeg. I mean, we were at Oxford House yesterday, which is a Cree community there. And we were at Norway House the week before then. And so our trip kind of transformed from a wilderness trip to, getting to know people along the route, really getting to know the areas and the communities and the history of everywhere where we're going in relation to the land instead of just spending time in the wilderness there.
In your blog, you mentioned how much activity there was along the river, just with people who lived there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, when we were on the Minnesota and the Red River, we really didn't see too many people out on boats. And we found that everyone we talked to was kind of afraid of the waters as well, which is partly due to the flooding for this summer. But once we got into Canada, people were everywhere, especially on the reserves that we've been through. You know, we paddled into Oxford House and people are fishing, practicing on their York boats. They're, you know, hanging out by the water and really enjoying it as a source of recreation, which we didn't see as much in the States.
I know it's in Canoeing with the Cree, Eric was 17 and his partner Walter Port was 19, and they really didn't see many people at that time, 1930. But being with one person only for those lengths of time, it's really, there are some things that kind of crop up. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, to get along 100%. How have you and Natalie done, and obviously you've met more people and kind of takes the isolation away. How's that all gone?
Yeah. I mean, meeting people has definitely taken the isolation away. I don't feel like I'm not sick of Anne. We don't fight all the time and we still get along really well. I mean, as normal when you hang out with one person for a really long time, you know, we have discussions, you know, where we're like, oh, well, you know, we need to do this better, or communicate better about this. But I mean, it's going great. Like Anne's mom said yesterday, well, we got a dog when we were at Norrie House. So now Anne's mom said we know what it's like to be married with a child. But I don't know.
Yeah, that was. I saw that on your post as well. You adopted a puppy that you found at, was it Oxford, outside of Oxford House?
We were in Norway House.
Norway House when that happened.
When we picked up the dog. We were there for their York Boat Days festival, where they have, it's like a treaty festival, and then they have York boat races and talent shows. And we stayed with a council member, Mike Mishwagen, and his family. And they were just so fun, and decided that we needed to have a puppy for live bait for polar bears, or to warn us of the polar bears. But and they have a lot of stray dogs there, and so we kind of went around in their car and picked out a good stray dog out the window, and then ran out and grabbed it and like threw it in the car and gave it a collar, and now we have a dog.
Well, for folks out there who don't understand what you were just saying about the polar bears and the dog, polar bears can creep up very cautiously and quietly, and having the dog actually is like an early warning system for you.
Yeah, that's the plan. So we feel prepared for the coming week.
Now, yeah. You've got, I was guessing that you had maybe 10 days left. Is that approximately right before you reach Hudson Bay?
We've got about 7 to 8 days, depending on, you know, weather and what happens. It could be as early as 6 days from now.
How have you adapted? I know it's adapted to the some of the rapids that you've had to go through. Have you kind of given up some of those portages and just headed right into them, or be a little more cautious?
Well, we're as cautious as we can be, and we have a journal, Hap Wilson's journal, about the Hayes River, and it's all laid out like, oh, run this river left, and they have each set and pictures of where the canoe should go and where all the portages are, and it's really, really laid out, and so we try to run as much as we can if it doesn't look too bad, but I mean, after our first set, we were just trying to get the hang of things again because it's been, you know, since 2007 and since we've really run some whitewater. So after that, we get better every set. We did a beautiful back ferry yesterday.
Oh, and by the way, we all here wish you both happy birthdays. I believe you both had birthdays within this last week.
Yep. Anne is 19 and I am now 25.
Wow, isn't that something, huh? So do you have a little celebration?
Yeah, we brought lots of cake. Okay. So we make that, we brought too much cake, one might say. And then, you know, we have impromptu dance parties and just do little quirky things all day. Play music.
Impromptu dance parties?
Yeah.
That's something we do here all the time at the station.
So you know, I wouldn't have to explain it.
I hear Anne in the background, I believe, giving you some advice.
Yep. Do you want to talk to her?
Yeah, however it works for you guys.
She gave me a look.
Okay.
Hold on. She definitely wants to talk to you guys.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Well, thank you, Anne, for joining us here tonight at WTIP. Exciting adventure that you and Natalie on, that's for sure. How does it feel to be, you two will be the first women to have completed that trip within the next 8 days or so. How does that feel to you personally?
We've been having discussions about the fact that we'll be the first women to do this, just about every single day on this trip. And I think that it's something that, like, hasn't really even come full circle yet, even though, you know, it was sort of like I found out that we could do it and, decided to pursue this sort of, like, quest. I don't know. I don't know. It just feels good. We get questioned a lot on trail or whenever we go into a town about like how prepared we are and how experienced we are, and sometimes people have a lot of doubts for us, and so that's been sort of hard to deal with, but I guess I just can't wait to get to York Factory, and I feel like it'll be something that I won't even realize how great it is to have completed until later.
Now, it's something as you were planning the trip and you know, when you first get into the canoe, the trip had to seem really, really big. Does it seem so big now? Does it, in retrospect, going back, not that it's to diminish it at all, but I mean, now that you've gotten so used to what you're doing day by day, does it feel more natural, a natural rhythm?
Yeah, definitely. And when we stop into towns, Natalie would always say to me, it's becoming more of a lifestyle because we can, I don't know, do things like still everyday things like use cell phones, even though on the Red River and those kind of things, it would just sort of like every town we come to became more of like we're really good at stopping in places now and really good at like talking to people and telling them what we're like, what our mission is and what we want to accomplish. And when we're in the wilderness, then it's sort of like, oh, back to normal. And then we're in a town and it's like, oh, this is weird. But then we get back on trail and it's like back in our routine. And so, yeah.
Eric Severide in 1930, when he finished that his journey with Walter Port, wrote a book called Canoeing with the Cree. What are you going to call the title of your book when you and Natalie get done?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think the title of her book, I think Hudson Bay Bound. No, we keep coming up with different titles. Maybe Canoeing with Maihan. I think our book will probably have more of an environmental and social justice twist. So it'll probably be something more, I don't know. We haven't decided yet.
How about food during your journey? Are you getting resupplied every when you get to villages? Is that how it works, or what type of food are you eating?
We have mostly rice, noodles, and oats are probably like our main staples. We have lots of oatmeal for breakfast, and then we have granola bars provided by Olympic Granola for lunch, and then just like noodles and rice for dinner. We haven't had cheese in a really long time because we bought some in Winnipeg, but then it went bad, and when you get up farther north, it's really expensive. So, yeah, we've had all of our food in our barrel since Winnipeg, and we got a resupply there from my parents with similar things.
You don't have that much further to go. You're going to be at York Factory. How do you get home?
Oh, we get to York Factory. We use our sat phone to call Gil Air, and then they'll come pick us up in a float plane and take us back to Gillam. And then when we're in Gillam, we're getting on the train. And we're either taking the train to Thompson, which is just the next town over, and then getting picked up by a friend we made at Norway House who drives through Thompson to go to Winnipeg every weekend, or we're taking the train from Thompson to Winnipeg, which is a 35-hour train ride, and you go about like 40 miles an hour because the tracks are kind of up and down.
Now, I understand that when after this is over and you get back in our neck of the woods, that there's going to be an after party here in Grand Marais. Is that scheduled?
Oh, yeah, I think It's not scheduled yet. We don't really know anything about what the party is going to be like. I think our like official welcome back party will be in the city, so we can auction off the canoe because that's where most of our audience is. But
sure.
I think we'll probably do something in Grand Marais at Stone Harbor.
Great. So we're going to have to, we'll have to talk to you again to find out just when this all can happen so we can let the folks out here in our listening audience know. And perhaps that time you may have a slideshow put together?
We have a little GoPro, and it makes HD videos. And we've taken lots of videos of Lake Winnipeg and the sets we've run so far and different wildlife. And so we'll definitely have like video and pictures to show.
Great. Well, we sure look forward to that. And, of course, Bob and I are technology. I don't know what you'd call it. We're limited in our... So we still talk, I still talk about slideshows. You talk about videos and whatever the rest of that stuff was, but it's going to be great and entertaining. Well, we just would, you've got just a little bit left, but it's also one of the more dangerous portions of your trip yet to go these last few days. Now, is it dangerous because of the rapids or the polar bears or both or what?
Both. There's a bunch of sets right after Knee Lake that are supposed to be really treacherous, and we'll just scout them and do our best. And the way that things have been going, it should be totally fine. And then after those rapid sets, there's another lake, Swampy Lake, but that's our last lake. And then there's a whole 2 days of rapid sets until we finally get to White Mud Falls, and that's where the trip turns into a float trip, and we're on this river that just goes straight and fast all the way to York Factory.
Sounds great. Can you tell folks where they can pick you up on the web to follow the rest of your journey and learn more about your expedition and also YMCA Camp Minojin?
Yeah, we have a website, www.hudsonbaybound.com. And from there, it connects to Minojin's website and our blog. And our last blog update was 2 days ago from Oxford House. And then on our website, we also have the spot tracking us. So it has a GPS dot wherever we camped for the night and should keep tracking us to York Factory.
Great. Well, once again, we want to thank both of you for joining us here tonight and giving us your time. We congratulate you on just a fantastic job of 78 days out there so far and just a few left to complete your journey, and we look forward to seeing you when you get return. That was
Thanks for having us.
That was Ann Rejo and Natalie Warren with Hudson's Bay Bound, and to learn more, you can go to the website she just described, and thank you again so much.